You didn't even look human.
Greetings. You've entered into the Paracosmos, where anything is possible and everything is probable. I'm Lacey, your host, ghost with the most.
I'm Leah, and I don't have anything to follow that up with because normally I say I am the ghost with the most. So
I stole it.
I am a chimney goblin, I suppose.
A chimney goblin. I love that. I also realized I said host ghost instead of ghost host. So,
well,
that's,
you know,
the thing I do, and you'll have to get used to it because I do that quite often in conversation. And I usually get made fun of for it. So go ahead and join in. It will only hurt my feelings a lot.
It works out just fine.
All right. So today we're doing something very different from what we've been doing. Yeah, very different. So, you know, usually we're constantly talking about Marvel stuff. What's coming out? Marvel this, Marvel that. We decided that since we are mainly a podcast that wanted to focus on all comic book related things, that we're going to talk about a more indie comic this time. So a more original story that we haven't heard. This comic is called Grimm. It was written by Stephanie Phillips. It has multiple artists involved with its creation, but Stephanie Phillips was the one who wrote the story, and she's worked on quite a few other things which we'll talk about later, but we are talking about Grimm, G-R-I-M, by Stephanie Phillips today. So where do you want to start?
Yes, Grimm. I don't know why I just felt compulsed to show you the book that I was holding.
Right.
I was just like, yeah, Grimm, for the people that literally can't see a single thing.
Look, we did actually, me and Leah did both end up getting the special cover without discussing it. The comic book stores were the only ones that had access to the special like artwork cover. So if you get this book at like a Barnes & Noble or Amazon or something like that, you're going to get the original cover, but you can only get the special edition art at a comic book store, which I thought was really cool because it kind of promotes people going to comic book stores.
Yeah, support your brick and mortar comic book stores, because unfortunately most of the ones in my area are closing down. They just don't generate enough profit. I've spoke with a couple of them about it already in the last month and a half. So yeah, go support your local comic book stores, and then your big box stores last.
Yes, definitely support local first. We're all about that. Okay, so I mean, I guess a good place to start would be, I guess let's give a synopsis of the story, right? Read the back do you want to just read the back?
Yeah, I'll just read you the synopsis that Stephanie Phillips has provided us, or whoever wrote the back of this. For Grimm, this is the first trade. It collects 1 to 5. So we're going to talk about issues 1 to 5 today. I think volume 2 is out now as well. I haven't checked into it. I just know that volume 2 is either out or coming out very soon.
It is out. I saw it.
Okay,
today.
So volume 2 is out. So I'll probably pick that up at some point this week then, if I can find it in shop. Luckily, my guy normally just orders me stuff. So Grimm is described as Jessica Harrow is dead. But her journey has only just begun. Discover the world of the afterlife, where Jessica has been recruited as a reaper, tasked with ferrying countless souls to their final destination. But unlike the rest of the reapers, Jess has no memory of what killed her and put her into this position. In order to unravel the mystery of her own demise, she'll have to solve an even bigger one. Where is the actual Grimm Reaper? Boom. Grimm.
First 5 issues. What did you think of the story?
Unfortunately, off recording, we just discovered that Stephanie Phillips is, in fact, my best friend.
Correct.
Based on similar interests.
Stephanie Phillips, come on our podcast. Thank you.
Yeah. Love you. Big time. Long time. I thought the story for issues 1 to 5 was actually very predictable and just kind of mediocre. I still enjoyed it. I still liked it, you know, and it's still probably better than something that I could have come up with. So I'm still going to read it. Right.
Admittedly, I will say this because there's like a twist near the end of this one. Right. We get a big reveal. I think that was in issue 5.
Yeah.
Who because they basically, the whole goal of this book is that the Grim Reaper's been missing, and you know,
Jessica and her two wayward friends, who are also Grim Reapers, have to figure out where Death has gone and why this big bad creature called the End is trying to kill everybody in the afterlife. So I guess like actual soul reaping in the afterlife. I don't know how you kill people that are already dead, but
I think the point of the entity, the End, is like there is nothing after it.
Yeah.
I think for mortals, what it seemed like is that they were all being sent to death, like he was ending their lives. But for immortals, he was completely erasing them.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I took from it, too, is that when he killed all those people, when he first appears, I took that as he is just sending them. Yeah, he's just sending them to a void, right? Like he is snuffing them out. Essentially, like they're not going to the afterlife. They are just ceasing to exist entirely. And he is the balance between life and death. The End is. So he has to keep everything, I suppose, balanced.
Yes,
weighted correctly.
That's his current motivation that we're aware of.
Yeah.
So Jessica goes on this adventure with her two friends. The End ends up in the afterlife and goes after the Grim Reapers, and we find out that the End is mainly after Jessica.
Like, yes,
has made it very clear that Jessica has to die in order for balance to be restored. And so we see the End go after her. We see one character kind of play the good and bad guy by aiding the End and getting her, but like trying to protect what she can. I haven't caught on yet what she totally is, like good or bad yet. And of course, you know, our character Jessica ends up actually finding the Grim Reaper's scythe and using it, and it takes them to Las Vegas. And this is where they end up finding the Grim Reaper himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get the reveal that she is actually the Grim Reaper's daughter.
Which was like very, that's what was predictable about the story, honestly. The reveal that she is the Grim Reaper's daughter, she's the daughter of death or whatever. Because at one point earlier in the, like, I think the first issue, she accidentally falls back into the world of the living while chasing down a soul who got away from her by stealing her scythe. Yeah. And she falls back into that world for just a moment, which is what awakens the End. Her making physical contact with the real world versus just the non-existent, like, dead world, I guess.
The spiritual world.
Yeah, is what brought him about, you know, like, once that happened. And everyone's tripping because they're like, literally only one being in existence can operate in both life and death, and that's the Grim Reaper, and he is missing. And then we meet this this character lady in charge of the afterlife, and she is very much like trying to keep Jessica's death a secret, doesn't want her to know anything. It's just like, I don't know where death is, like, don't worry about it, I got this.
Yeah, because all the Grim Reapers are people that have died and then been given the position of Grim Reaper.
Yes.
So she's the only one that couldn't remember how she died, and you come to find out she goes to look at her file, and really the only person who should be looking at files is the Grim Reaper himself, but they sneak in. She looks at a file of her death, but she actually sees her birth instead of her death, which makes sense.
Yeah, you know, considering she is the daughter of the Grim Reaper.
Yes. And we discovered that the Grim Reaper obviously is the Grim Reaper, you know, a spiritual being, but that her mother was... Yeah.
He's in his jammies. He's Sam Elliott, basically.
Yeah, man. We'll talk about that in a second, because that's definitely something I want to touch on. But, you know, just basically discovers that that's her dad, and that this other lady is actually the Grim Reaper's sister, so her aunt.
Yeah, and it's Adra? Adria?
Yeah. I don't know.
Adra?
I thought it was like Adria.
Adria?
That's all right. We'll listen to something and it'll say it right for us.
Eventually,
I always have
to
do that. But yeah, so we find out that there was this whole fight between her and the Grim Reaper. And basically he was like, you know, I took away her powers. I think it was he took away her ability to fly.
Yeah, he said her wings and her powers. Yeah. So he kind of just basically turned her into like
a manager.
Like a retail manager. So.
Yes. Yeah. She's legit just a retail manager. That's what she
at
is.
At that point. Yeah. She's not a Grim Reaper, but she's not a Grim Reaper. You know, like all these people are Reapers too. Like Jessica and her two friends, Marcel and Eddie.
Yeah.
They're just very strange little Reapers. So.
Yes. So yeah, we find that out. I remember one of the characters being like, why didn't you just like destroy her? And he was like, well, I had to keep the story of my daughter, like Jessica, safe. So I ended up making a deal with her that I would go into banishment if it meant keeping your identity safe, because I knew that the end would come for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and which is now what's happening.
Yes,
and then, and of course, at the very end, that's when I will say that the way we'll talk about that in a minute. At the end, the Grim Reaper actually ends up, for what we know, dying to save Jessica.
Yeah, he saves Jessica, Sam Elliott does. And the end, it seems like, is killed, put down, done for the end.
Like, he looks like he's killed.
He looks like he's gone.
But it's like one of those things where I'm like, I'm not sure to fully believe that because he's the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, he's like an omniscient being, like... both the Grim Reaper,
yeah,
because both the Grim Reaper and the End die in this battle. Like they kind of take each other out, it looks like, and then Adria comes through with her little Reaper lackeys, who she has lied to get them to hunt down Jessica, Eddie, and Marcel. And they are in Vegas now. Like they have taken Death's scythe. The Grim Reaper scythe from his like little Grim Reaper castle, I guess, on the River Styx or whatever you have it is what the book actually literally says.
Yeah.
Whatever you prefer to call it, they've taken his scythe and they have magicked into Las Vegas, Nevada, which is very funny and also very appropriate for Sam Elliott to be hiding out in.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So the whole trade issue, volume one, issue five, ends with Adria going back to what we assume is the afterlife with the other Reapers and stranding them in Las Vegas. And now issue six will pick up with them having to deal with the repercussions of abandoning the afterlife, their time as the Reaper, and what they're going to do now that they know Jessica is the daughter of death. So she is the rightful ruler of the afterlife, the So, like, she's going to go, I guess, like, skull face all the time, which was also, like, another real big predictable thing when she was, like, red skull face. I've got this scythe. I can talk to the living and the dead. And I was like, oh, okay, so Grim Reaper's missing. And then she's going to go find him. And plot twist, it's his daughter. We should have known from the goth boots.
I'm just saying. Listen, I feel like I usually catch on to that stuff really well. It honestly caught me off guard.
I feel like, though, like, it's not, like, a simple plot line at all, you know, like it is still well written and
there's a lot of moving pieces.
There's a lot of pieces to it, but it also feels like it moves entirely too quickly. Granted, I did read five issues of it in one day, so like that might also be why it felt very fast. So what was there anything else that you wanted to add to the overall story of it before we start talking about some of the characters in it?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, I will say it was good enough that I'm definitely interested in the second, just because I want to see how they get out of Vegas without their sights to travel between.
What was it?
Death.
What was it? The guy, there's a panel in it when they first get to Vegas, and the guy's playing the slots and he's like, yeah, you never get out of the city alive or something like that.
Yep.
This is a very stylized and very aesthetic comic book.
Big time.
Yeah. And the first trade issue is actually titled Don't Fear the Reaper. And it opens on the very first page. I don't know why I'm doing this again, where I'm flipping through it to show you this as if you're not currently holding it. And as if anybody listening to this could see me doing this. The very first couple panels of it play. I will say play, but it is written very somberly, the lyrics to Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. And that is, if I had to choose a favorite song in life, it would be that song. And it has been since I was a child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've loved that song forever. So I thought that was very, very clever.
Well, you know, seasons don't fear the Reaper. Come on, baby. Don't fear the Reaper. Anyway, that was awful.
I love that. Love that.
So character design. What did you think of the character designs?
I like that we're seeing characters from different time periods.
Oh, yeah.
Very different time periods. Choice. We've got, what, somebody from the 1800s and then somebody from the 80s. Looks like we've got a Shakespearean era person up in here. We've got modern day people. I feel like the characters need more time to be fleshed out, for sure. Within the first 5 volumes, I still don't care enough about any of these characters, one way or the other. I feel like the only character that they attempted to make feel full was Jessica, because she's your center character. You still don't know how she died, and at this point I'm just like, did she ever die? Did she die at birth? Like,
I don't think she ever died. I think that's the whole point.
Yeah, like, she didn't have a death. Like, it started with her life, you know. So
yeah, and what I also really love about the character designs is that it's like a very diverse group of people.
It is.
Very diverse. It's not just a bunch of white people showing up. Like, well, you get, like, this big picture of all these different Grim Reapers, and you can tell they're from different time periods. There's, like, you know, people of color. There's, like, young and old. There, you know, it's, like, all different types of people represented, which I think is also really cool.
Yeah, no, it has a very good diverse ensemble of characters to it, for sure. And like the little mythology of like the demons and everything in it is still very interesting, right?
I swear that Susie from Susie and the Banshees is in the background as a Reaper on one of these panels, and I really wish I could ask Stephanie, like, is that supposed to be Susie?
Message her, DM her on Instagram, since she's our best friend now.
Yeah, she's our bestie now. We
unfortunately,
yes,
maybe not unfortunately, but embarrassingly enough, we have read so many things by her and not realized that she was the author
not
of
realized it.
It
was her.
I do a really bad thing of like looking at authors and remembering authors, right? Like, unless it's my main boy, I don't retain that information very well. So
yeah.
You know. That's
okay,
bad.
So character design besides that, like, what did you think of what did you think of the Grim Reaper's design choice?
Sam Elliott in the Las Vegas hotel room.
Yes, for those of you like who are listening, look up the actor Sam Elliott. No joke, that's exactly like how the Grim Reaper
like
looks.
When he was speaking, that was the voice in my head. So if they were to ever try to make this, like, they wouldn't do this as a movie. There's no way. It would be a whack-ass movie. It'd be a Morbius movie, right? It'd be super lame, too fast-paced. But this would be, like, a really cool, like, little Amazon Prime show. I could see them doing something like that.
I could see it as, like, a
you
short
know, like,
series.
Like, maybe, like, a 6 to 9-part, hour-long episode Amazon series, since they picked up, like, The Boys, and they pick up, like, these smaller, lesser-known titles and these little indie titles and stuff. And this is put out by Boom Comics. So I could see them picking up something like this and making it, like, a nice little fantasy show. And if they didn't cast Sam Elliott as the Grim Reaper, that would be the biggest disappointment in my life, because I'm on I'm on season I think I just started season 7 of Parks and Rec rewatch, so season 6 has Sam Elliott in it, and he's Ron Dunn, and he's like a hippie who just appears wearing like chacos in the woods, you know, with his like flowy parachute pants. And if that is not the Grim Reaper in this, then like I don't want to speak to another living person ever again.
I'm Ron Swanson. What's your name? I'm
Ron Dunn.
Ron Dunn. Is that your last name, or are you done speaking? Both. That I'll never forget that line, because it's so
honestly
good.
Honestly though, this is definitely back on like a Marvel movie with Sam Elliott playing one of the ghostwriters in the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movie. That's like the only redeemable quality of that movie. You're welcome. True. Guys, go watch that really old Marvel Fox movie.
You know what I just realized, character design wise? So because, you know, we talked about the story that the Reaper is banished to this place because he's trying to protect his daughter's identity. He literally has a, oh my God, what do they call those? The little ankle.
He's got an ankle monitor. He has like an actual ankle monitor.
Yeah, like he's under house arrest. Like,
yeah,
because
he says at one point that he cannot leave that room for all of eternity.
Yeah.
He supposes.
Yep.
And he's just chill with that dude. Like he just eats his takeout and his jam jams with his little chacos on.
Yeah, he's just living life. Like he's like, all right, I guess I'll stay.
I audibly laughed when I saw the ankle monitor.
I can't believe I just saw that. And then when he gets to the big fight,
right, you expect him to change into like his super Grim Reaper form and like have his like hooded cloak, like skull face, but no, he's got a skull face, but he's still in his pajama pants with his toes out. He got the toes to the world. I love it.
Fighting in his jammies. Also, the fact that I think it's Adira. Adira tries to blame the death on Jessica's wild.
Oh, yeah. Adira does make a lot more sense if we're speaking in, like, fantasy mythological terms.
Yep. Adira.
But I'm from Kentucky, so Adria.
So Adria.
Adra.
Adira.
Adira. Adira. Adderall.
I'm going to say Adderall. Okay, so what did you think of the... We talked about it a little bit with character design. What did you think of the art?
I thought the art in this, both the line work and the coloring was really good. Really well done. This is actually what enticed us to buy this comic book many months ago that we did not read. And then I suggested we do Grimm as like a intro to covering more physical comic books. Not realizing that I already owned it. But what enticed us to buy it was we picked up a random issue one day at the comic book store and Zach really just liked the art inside of it. So I looked at it and I was like, yeah, that actually is like really sick looking. Let's go ahead and get that bad boy. So we ordered the trade for it.
Yeah, it
and
was.
Here we are.
Yeah, it's, I really love the artwork. It's very stylistic, very like, there isn't a fear, like, you know how when sometimes people draw things, all the characters look very the same. Like, there's, yeah, like, a layout for the boy and a layout for the girl or whatever, mm-hmm, and they kind of just,
yeah,
put
they just
different
kinda copy
clothes
paste
and hair. Yeah, this, yeah, is not that. This is, all the characters are very unique and stylistic, like, different noses, different face shapes, different body shapes, and I really appreciate seeing that in a comic book because that... that's more challenging to do. It takes a lot more work, so I respect it a lot.
It does.
So who, just out of these first five, if you had to pick a favorite character, who are they and why?
I mean, obviously I'm gonna go Sam Elliott just because I think he's funny, and I do, even though he is gone by the end of this issue.
Just to be clear,
this
that is
the Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper. For those who haven't caught on, that is the Grim
is
Reaper.
The Grim Reaper. I mean, I don't think that that's the last we're going to see of him, right? Like, they're going to either do some type of flashback work, he's going to come back, something's going to happen. You can't kill death. And I would like to roundhouse go back to some of the way that the story is written real fast, because I just remembered.
Yeah.
When they first appear in Las Vegas, Jessica decides to save a drunk party girl from getting hit by a bus. And she does. And then this girl is, since she had a near-death experience, she is possessed by death. And he invites Jessica and her friends to his suite, right? On the 13th floor of the Inferno Hotel. Very funny, haha. And then he asks
for coffee and pie.
He says, come for some coffee. Hope you guys like pie. I, now looking at Stephanie Phillips' Instagram, know that this is a callback to Supernatural. You cannot convince me that this is not a little bit of love for Supernatural, because death in that show had a thing for pie. He would only ever meet with the Winchesters over pie or snacks.
Oh, you're,
yeah,
right. Oh my God.
Love it.
You're talking about the horseman.
Yeah,
death,
yes,
show, right?
Yes. The horseman, yep, of the, yep, apocalypse, yep, death, when he first meets with Dean in Chicago. It's over pie.
I think even in one episode, they showed him like by himself as things started.
Yeah, it was in season five.
He was just in a diner. Yeah, no,
season five. I don't remember which episode, but it was the end of season five when like the show should have ended. Yeah, and they play Odeth, and he's literally just sitting there eating pie. And then every time in the future that he meets with a Winchester, it has to be over pie or a snack.
Do you notice what Death's mug says?
Over decaf, yeah.
Yep, or death over decaf.
Or is it death before decaf?
I'm just, death before decaf, yeah. And I'm just like, what? I can't believe
it's so campy. It's so campy.
I admittedly, yes, very campy. I did have to read this quickly just because life is crazy. And I'm also not used to reading five issues in a sitting. So that was a lot. But yeah, that's now that I'm like, I'm honestly going back and I'm like, oh, I appreciate these little details. Like I'm catching more and more as the more I look through it, which I really like.
I try to pay attention to the panels, but sometimes with that, you know, that ADHD, it gets a little difficult. So you just kind of read the bubble and you move on from the bubble, right?
That's literally what happens to me too.
But I tried to retain as much as I could. And because this involved like a few of my favorite things to bother about, I still was engrossed in the story, right? So I still liked it. But yeah, so Death is one of my favorite characters, just because he is Sam Elliott incarnate as a Grim Reaper. And then I really liked Eddie, for no reason other than he's silly goofy.
He is silly goofy. Surprisingly, he was not my favorite. I feel like usually that type of character is my favorite.
No, he who's your not. Favorite?
Marcel was my favorite. Yes, our little French 1800s boy. I was like,
Lacey's always here for the gays, though.
Yeah, that's true. And man, anytime someone brings out Cajun or French accent,
that's it.
I should have known. Everyone, that is. It really is. It gets me every time. I'm literally
looking at all your Gambit shit behind you. Just
I can't help it. Someone talks like that, and I'm like, I'm done. You're my favorite, and I'll protect.
Could you imagine? Imagine just for a minute. Us going to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go to Louisiana with you so badly one year just to see you fall out.
I'm going to blush a lot. I'm not going to be able to speak, first off. Second off, I'm going to blush a lot. Third, I'm going to run. I'm actually going to have to just run away.
I'm so excited. This is the hype.
I'm a married person, Leah. Please
temptation.
Leave me alone. Oh my god. But yeah, Marcel is definitely I feel like you said, we mainly learned about Jessica, so that's kind of another motivator for me to keep reading is I really want to learn.
I feel like we'll learn Marcel more about these characters in later issues.
Yeah. Yeah, that also keeps me I rarely align with loving the main character. Not that like I don't enjoy the main character, just that I feel like the main character is never my favorite character. I always like one of the side characters the most based on their little antics or like the little things they add in. So it makes sense. Marcel is definitely my favorite. I can't lie, he's also very good looking. I was like, damn. He's very well drawn. She getting it.
Stephanie Phillips, she gets it.
Thank you, Stephanie Phillips. Thank you. definitely for the gays and the theys.
Oh, isn't that what Zach said to us once?
Probably.
Isn't that what our group chat is named? Oh, no, it's not anymore. It's not anymore.
We've changed it,
but
so
it was
many
our
times.
Our group chat that we had with our friend Shannon was for a very long time called the gays and the theys, or maybe it was the girls and the it was definitely the gays. It was the gays and the theys, I think it was the gays.
Right now it's beverage container inside. So, and I don't even know how we got there.
I feel like I remember, but that's a story for another time when we're not on the clock.
That is, yeah, very true. Yeah, we got
10 minutes.
Like, 10 minutes left. Okay, so we talked about art, we talked about story, we talked about character design. So let's do this. This is only the first five. So this is not necessarily a rating on the entire story that is to come. This is just based on the first five. So don't like totally knock the entire series if like our rating might be a little lower or whatever. I'm going to give it a rating of a 7 out of 10. Only because usually... like, I'm gathering that these first five, like, 1 through 5, is exposition. We had to get introduced to a bunch of characters. Here's the conflict. Here's what's going on. And our story begins.
Through that, yep.
Like, that's kind of what it came across to me. And exposition is always, anytime I read a book, anytime I start a movie, anytime I start a show, exposition's always the most difficult thing for me to get through, because while I do want the details, I am very much I want to see the action, I want to see the drama, I want to see the heartbreaking, soul-shattering moments. So do not take my 7 out of 10 as a you should not read this. I really did enjoy it. I just am anxious to continue it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely just like this is the first five issues, right? So I think I agree with that, like a 7 out of 10, because I still did enjoy it a whole lot, even though I did call it predictable. It wasn't boring, you know. So like,
right.
Yeah, there's so you kind of want to make your intro to characters and to your overall world building a little easy to follow, so people don't dip out after, you know, the first two issues or whatever. So I'm still gonna read it.
Easier to remember too. Yes, absolutely. I would like to know more of what happens, and I'm definitely most curious to see other characters developed, especially since, like, another thing with Marcel was, like, they kept bringing up how awful his death was, like, how terrible and traumatic it was, and we never saw it. Like, he had his file, but he didn't open it.
I think we'll see it. I think we'll get, like, an issue for both Eddie and Marcel in the future, and then we'll get more about Jessica's mother, because the volume actually ends with us finding out that Jessica's mother is in prison and she has received a letter, and that's where it ends, you know. So it will be fun to pick this back up and see what's going on next.
I definitely agree. And volume 2 is out, so we can definitely pick that up and sort of revisit this with you guys. Probably not next week. We'll probably do something else as well, just to kind of break it up. But we will definitely revisit this, because it sounds like we're both interested in continuing it. So that was kind of like our indie review. Real quick, while we have a little bit of time left, there are some other things that she has written for. We each really love something. So I can't believe I didn't notice this. Leah pointed it out, but she wrote the newest Rogue and Gambit, like, 6 little miniseries comic of those two going on crazy adventures together. So I'm like, oh my
God. I know.
Like, you have written for my two favorite characters. Like, bless you. Thank you. Like, I will always gladly consume more Rogue and Gambit content. At any given
chance. I think she's more known for, like, her Wonder Woman and Harley Quinn series that she did for DC.
That's what it seems
a couple
like,
years ago, you know, and then, like, some of her indie stuff that she's done, like Grimm, and I think it was The Butcher Paris. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't realize I was reading that she's done, you know. We discovered the Rogue and Gambit. She has a short story in the newest, the first issue of the new iteration of Marvel Zombies, Black, White, and Blood. I think I called it Blood Red on the last episode, but it's just Blood, Black, White, and Blood. Because I have to go pick up the second issue that you sent me a picture of today.
You did.
And it's got my boy.
You do. Yeah, it says here that her stuff has appeared in DC Comics, Aftershock, On New Press, Heavy Metal, Dark Horse, which Dark Horse is a super famous horror one, Top Cow Image, and more, and obviously Marvel, because we just spoke about that. So, tons of stuff.
Like, one of them that she's involved with is the Cap Wolf and the Howling Commandos, where Captain America is bitten by a werewolf in Nazi Germany. And instead of just being Captain America, he's now like a werewolf. And I recommend everybody go read that, because it is absolutely ridiculous and I love it. And it is insane. I love it. And then she has this March coming out, Black Widow and Hawkeye, which you know I'm going to read because that's my other boy and my girl. So.
Oh, so that's like your that's
yeah, that's
your
my duo, man. Don't care what they're doing, but if they're on a book, I'm going to read it. Okay. She also wrote,
but they duo in.
She also wrote on one of the newest iterations of the Avengers comics. I own several of them. So this is where it becomes embarrassing that she's our new best friend because she should have been our best friend all along.
Yeah, she should have. Hey, Stephanie, sorry. We saw your Spotify Wrapped. We agree with it. I also really like WWE. Did you see that CM Punk
and I fantastic. Cry over the Gaslight Anthem all the time.
Yep. So just saying, Stephanie, if you want two new best
friends, I'm available.
we're here. If you're open to it, also come be on our podcast.
Right, come.
Let us ask you questions because that would be fantastic. I would love to actually get to ask a writer questions. That would be so
I feel
fun.
Like I would ask literally nothing because I called the story slightly predictable.
Dang, Leah. Here I am asking Stephanie to come on our podcast. You're like, let me roast her.
I'm like, please
let
don't.
Let me toasty toast her on the fire real quick. A little bit. You know, after Lacey pleads. Let me destroy
Like,
it.
I will hang this call up so fast.
I was like, would you like this fresh meal I've made to beg you? And Leah came over and smacked the plate out of my hand before Stephanie could eat any.
Tastes like shit.
Just smacked it out. Just said, no. Okay. Well, that's about it.
Yeah. I can't wait to check back in on Grimm here in maybe a month or so once we get around to that. We haven't quite picked out what we're going to discuss next week. Which comic book it's going to be, but it'll probably.
But we are sticking a lot to comics and maybe some DC animated.
Yeah, if I ever get the time.
There is a new Harley Quinn anime.
I did see that. I did see that there's an anime.
Or not Harley Quinn.
It's a Suicide Squad.
She's definitely, it's a Suicide Squad, but they definitely are marketing.
Yeah, she's profitable.
Let's be honest. Yeah, she's very profitable. So, I mean, I would be down to talk about that because I, when it comes to DC, always love the villains mm-hmm. the most. So anything villain related and Peacemakers.
I do like Peacemaker quite a bit, but I think it's because I have a deep-seated trauma love for John Cena.
And just like that, you can't
see. You can't see me. Bye.